Hi, this is John. Welcome to Money Culture for Women. Our special guest this afternoon is a very interesting person in an area that a lot of you may not have had a whole lot of experience with. So we're very fortunate to have Catherine Trachta, whom I've known for more than a couple of years. Catherine is a premier business management consultant in employee relocation. She has over 30 years experience. She started as a grade school phenomenon in domestic and international relocation. She's a senior vice president for Altair Global Management. And Kathy, I apologize if I didn't quite pronounce that correctly. They're the top relocation consulting company, and they're in multiple countries around the world, around 8 or 9 different countries, obviously, including the U.S. First off, Kathy, welcome.
Thank you.
I know from some experience that relocation for business reasons isn't a simple process. It's not just, oh, okay, we got to sell this house, we got to buy another. You have to be, as a business consultant, you have to be part psychologist, real estate advisor, chess master, moving all the pieces, tax consultant, financial planner, and shrink along the way. So can you take a few minutes and tell us about the complexity of relocation?
Be more than happy to. And you're right. In your summation of all the things and hats that one wears to achieve an end result that is that's good is all you described, John. So bottom line is I think some of the complexities today that have probably also influence change is change itself. And things move so rapidly today, and the processes are needing to happen more quickly, be more thorough, and to also make sure that everyone involved family-wise and work-wise is on the same page. So I would say that, you know, what happens to make a win-win situation is multifaceted, and it is very emotional. And women play a lead role in this, as whether they are the person being relocated for professional reasons, or in fact, if they're a couple and they are not the person being relocated for work, but they're uprooting their lives as well. So it's the impact on the female part of this equation is quite large.
Well, your job sounds like it's the one that is in charge of making the transition easier. So how do you prepare a family for a home, business, and financial transition?
Good question. The most important thing is to set the proper expectation with whatever the circumstances are and the structure is around the relocation, be it someone being assisted by an employer, partially, fully, or maybe not at all. And with the unemployment rates being so low, we find that there are several opportunities out there where people have no help. So it's such a, they're up to their own device, right, to come up with this. Our role is not only to make it easier, but to find solutions where solutions don't appear to be. And in the midst of that, also create an experience and a journey that for the entire family or those involved, sometimes there's more than one animal and no children, and sometimes there's multiple children plus animals. It's our role is, again, to be the conduit and the solution provider to help all those pieces of the wheel, if you will, come together and fit. Where families are involved, I would say, you know, especially be it extended or children, the more involved we are able to get the children and encourage the parents to involve them in the process, give them some opportunity to weigh in on what's even small decisions that they can influence, they feel a part of it. It depends on age range, as you probably know, and the older the children, the more complex it can be due to relationships that have to be left behind, et cetera. But bottom line is setting expectation, pulling everybody in, giving them an opportunity to have a say and a voice will lead to a much more successful transition.
I know from experience, my daughter is an adult with a family of her own now, And she does not hesitate to remind me on almost a daily basis, at least a weekly basis, that, hey, I had really good ideas and you never listened to me when she was a kid. I imagine most parents have heard that along the line. It sounds like our side of the business, the charity side of Money Culture, is involved in financial reasons. I'm sorry, financial aspects, obviously, you know, trying to improve the personal financial knowledge and other things like this. It sounds to me a little bit like you do financial planning only for moving. Can you walk us through that process? So, you know, what type of evaluation do you do? What do you evaluate? You know, what are the influences that impact the move process and that type of thing?
Sure. Excellent thoughts and questions. Well, first and foremost, we are not a certified financial planning institution of any means, nor are we CPAs. With that said, John, and as you can remember maybe from prior days when we've had conversations about the industry before, the most important thing is to help people walk through what is feasible and what is not financially, because, again, if we were to take someone who's getting a move supplemented financially by an employer, then it gives us a little bit more of a definition of what to do and how to do, because we have some beginning and end of the finances. Either way, it doesn't matter if they're fully sponsored or not. The most important thing is to take a look at what is their tolerance. Let's take the home is one segment of the move for U.S. domestic move. So selling a home is extremely stressful. Buying a home can be even more distressed if you can't sell the prior property. When we talk to employees and employers, both, as well as spouses or partners, the most important thing is to check your emotions at the door and make sure that they don't influence financial decisions that you may regret later. One of the selling aspects often for a new destination when there is some resistance within the family to move is, you know, leaving the home where the memories are and the friends are and the neighborhood kids play, and or they just have a neighborhood of closeness. When they're looking at the new location, often it's a thought, the human thought and the behavior to say, let's find a place that just really wows us and jazzes us and we can look forward to it. And, you know, it's going to put us in a whole new environment. We're going to love the house, and that's going to be the selling point. We don't want to pour water on that thought and dilute it too bad, but we do want to bring people back to reality and say, you need to take into consideration, what is your spend tolerance? Don't put yourself in a financial strapping to where you will regret doing that. But if you're going to make that investment, look at the overall potential and the length of the job in the new location. Take a look at the economy that's supporting that new location and learn as much about it as you can. Where are the major employers? Who are they? How are they financially? Are they bringing people in? Are they moving people out? And I think that in closing that whole thought, it's put your hat on as a seller and look down the road. Go in with a mindset of what you might need to consider if you're going to sell that home, because chances are, if you move once, it's very likely you'll move again for job reasons. So those are some of the considerations around the financial pieces. And I focus mainly on the home because it is usually, you know, the largest investment that many of us will make in our lifetime.
What would you caution women, especially whether it's the worker woman or whether it is the family woman or the volunteer woman, but what would you caution women to think about regarding this this relocation and this home purchase in the area they're going to?
I think it is incumbent upon the female part of the equation, again, whichever side it's on, be it the professional employee side or the partner spouse, just make sure that you can, as that individual, support reasonableness. And again, I can't stress this enough, and I don't mean this in just the female way, because we have some male partners who also fall into the same behavior. don't let money be the convincing factor to make decisions in the new location, simply because it comes and it goes. It's not a solution. What is the cementing factor is the environment with which you plant yourself and those of your family members for thriving, be it socially, be it from a religious perspective, if that's the driving force, if it's neighborhoods with children in it. Make sure that those elements within the financial means that you have are present so that you don't have to go outside of there and purchase those, if you will, to sustain and create excitement amidst your family. Because a lot of people will consider that location of where they're going to live because of a certain factor, but forget that all the other things don't go with it. So then they find themselves in joining clubs, paying dues and things like this to insert themselves where those stimulations are. And so it's just, I think it's important to look at it, stand back and give it a 20,000 foot view of what's important. What do you want that to look like at the end? And financially, how can we get there with keeping ourselves in a good spot so that we don't get into a situation where we're not happy about how we spent that money?
I know that you eased the stress of corporate relocating for business reasons. I'll term it that way. And your clients, the employers who participate in the, financially participate and support the relocation or the move. What is the most, this is probably a redundant question, what is the most financially stressful part of the relocation process? And how did they deal with it?
Two things come to mind. First and foremost, due to tax law changes, the majority of everything that a company employer may pay on one's behalf becomes taxable income. So I'd say my first wish or ask would be, make sure you understand what is being paid for, and is the employer going to help tax assist that income, or are they not? So I would say that would be the first thing to be aware of and know, because if for some reason they are not, then you have a bit of a different approach and maneuvering as a result, because it's going to cost you out of pocket since it's income. Be aware of what that is.
Okay.
I think the second part of that is the most stressful. If you don't understand the benefits, that's very stressful. The second part, though, is making sure that anything that is reimbursed is done in a timely manner. If you're having to pay up front for certain things and you're told you're reimbursed, make sure you understand the timing of that reimbursement. If you've got expenses on a credit card, personal credit card, or if you've just paid cash, either way, it's out of pocket, if you will. Make sure you understand the times and cycles with which that money will be coming back to you. And I think on possibly a third wheel is, again, just understanding who's responsible for what part of the overall expense piece, especially if it is in an employer program situation. If you're on your own, you understand because you're paying for everything and that's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
However, if this is a shared situation, be very, very clear and very specific on what those benefits look like. Are they taxable? If they are taxable, who's paying tax assistance? Are you or the individual or company that's paying the benefit? And make sure that you understand the timing and the cycle for getting that money back in your pocket.
Is it true, Kathy, is this a true statement that some employers will gross up the relocation expenses to cover the tax bite? Not all do.
No, that is very true, John. It's a great question. Most employers in our business the clients that we deal with, and there's about 110 of those, they do tax assist and gross up for that additional income. And one of the largest changes that has just happened that used to be a non-taxable event is the movement of people's personal effects or their household goods. That used to be a non-taxable event. And as of January 1 of 2018, that is no longer true. That's another large expense in addition to what a home selling or buying may be. And what happens with that is that, again, it used to be something that was you could report it, but you could back it out of income on your tax return. Today, it is flat income, and that alone, the tax assistance needed for that alone can often, that can involve many paychecks over time if someone's having to payroll deduct what that net ended up being, you know, how it ended up impacting them, because if the household goods move is $25,000 and the tax, you know, the tax on that, for example, or the withholding on that would be another $10,000, $12,000. Well, by the time you deduct that out, for some people in certain income ranges, that means they may not get much of a paycheck for a period of time, and it's not even thinkable. You know, people can't survive without that. So having that information up front and knowing if an employer is going to tax assist, what pieces are they going to tax assist? Be very, very clear on that.
That's great advice. Quick question on the buying side of the move, do you see a tendency to overbuy yet today, you know, with the current economic conditions? If so, how do you overcome that?
Well, usually, and we see it, but it's not as common as it was, I would say, 10, 12 years ago. I would say prior to a bit of the crisis with the large mortgage, residential mortgage companies, you know, prior to that, when getting qualified for a loan that's probably twice what you should have been qualified for was really quite common. I think so many people got burned and had unfortunate experiences that I think that was a lesson to many. So we don't see it that often, but what we do see is when it does happen, again, keep in mind, some people are on a fast track. If they've moved once, chances are very good they're going to move again. If they make that overbuying decision and they move quickly, the negative ramifications are, and the penalties therein, and I say penalties personally into your own money, are fairly large, because employers do not bail people out for personal decisions that they have made, not often. And I think the other side of it is that tendency to overbuy also usually ties back into my very early comment about leaving your emotions at the door and not looking at this as a way to completely blow your lifestyle to a new limit because of your house. Again, check that emotion at the door, put on the business hat, use a sense of reasonability, because you need to think about down the road, not the here and now.
My old business of financial management and investment advisory business overbuying, I thought was a requirement for a lot of years.
It sure felt like it, didn't it?
It sure did. Kathy, this is Money Culture for Women. What one piece of advice, as a professional woman and as somebody with a lot of experience and a lot of empathy in the business of relocating, what one piece of advice would you leave women with?
I would encourage every one of you and us to have a voice and message yourself to be heard. We play a powerful part in our society as far as just being the gender that we are. We need to take advantage of that, in all fairness. And I think, again, to be able to express and to be able to say what is important to you in a way that you can be heard, be it around relocating with your family, be it around making decisions financially for the overall good of your family or for yourself. Don't be fearful. Be bold. and be heard. And I think when you're true to yourself, both of those become more of a natural characteristic in order to really achieve what that is. And then the peace of mind and not hold things in and look back and wish you had spoken up or said or done something different. So I would just say, again, be encouraged to be who you are, speak up, and make your voice known, especially when you may or may not be in agreement around financial situations, because that one moment in decision could change things for the rest of your living years. So take advantage of the opportunity and seize the moment when you can.
Sound advice and very relevant, even more so today than it was in the past. Kathy, thanks. Now, I appreciate your taking the time with us. I think your perspective on business matters and perspective on psychological and family matters is very interesting to hear and, you know, sort of different for our business. So really appreciate you taking the time. I hope we can connect with you on another piece of our topics as we go down the line with this particular series. Folks, Catherine Trachta, Altair Global, Plano, Texas. Thanks very much, Kathy.
Listen, thank you too, John. Thank you so much. Bye now.